It's bad when the pastor's doing business when he's supposed to be doing preaching, eh? Have you enjoyed the focus of the fast, spiritual warfare? Have you enjoyed what the Lord has been doing? Church, we can go and next week be the same we were on the 1st of January. But we shouldn't. We can't go backwards. God's church, the church of Jesus Christ, does not go backwards. Amen. The victory is already won. You guys need to say amen. Is it just me that thinks that? Or do you think so too? We're going forward. We're going to, you might say, ah, Keith, look at us. We're going to take this city, I'm telling you. The Lord has been giving me scripture after scripture. I'll share a little bit with you tonight before we do communion and pray. I'll try and contain myself. But God has been giving word about the city. He spoke to us about the city being like Nineveh. He's got a plan for the city. He sent a prophet to the city so the people could be saved, not so that they would be destroyed. He reminded me the city is a little bit like Nehemiah. We are a bit like Nehemiah. We need to build the walls again. We need to build the walls again. And last week, remember, he said it's time for the satanic and demonic strongholds to be pulled down to the ground. It's them that must burn, not the houses. Burning a house doesn't send Satan going. It doesn't. It just achieves Satan's purposes because his role is to kill, steal, and destroy. So when we start destroying houses, what are we doing? We're doing the devil's work. Aish, in a pain. All right, this morning we're going to speak about breaking Python's grip. On Wednesday night, we spoke about and we dealt with the spirit of Jezebel. Now we know Jezebel in the Bible. It's a controlling spirit. It's a manipulating spirit. It's a spirit that tries to rule through fear. It'll try and kill you. It's got sexual connotations. But we found out how to resist that spirit. But today, we're going to learn about the Python spirit. We have a great war that we're busy fighting. The minute you give your heart to Jesus, you enter a spiritual war and you're drafted into God's army, whether you like it or not. It's an invisible war. It manifests through all sorts of ways, through sickness, through poverty, through people fighting with one another, through demonic manifestations. But generally it'll manifest in subtle ways because that's the way the enemy works. He's a liar and a deceiver. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. But we, even though we're fighting against the devils and his hordes, we have great encouragement. We have victory. We have authority. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We are above and not below. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and the enemy is under our feet. And as the kings in the days of old did, I've given you this example many times, our feet is on the neck of our enemy. And that enemy has to submit. Amen. Who do we submit to? James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So unfortunately, even though we have victory, and we've got authority, we've got the Lord on our side, the devil, Satan, is still the god of this world. Did you read that in your booklets? The enemy is still the god of this world. Okay? By permission. Right? Jesus defeated him and made a fool of him on the cross. But Satan commands his demons and they run around causing chaos wherever they go. They don't love. There's no love. Even amongst themselves, there's no love. It's control. It's hatred. It's hurt. That's their business. Do you understand that? We are part of the army of the King of Light. Our role is to love, to embrace, to encourage, to build up, to have faith, to heal and set people free in the name of Jesus. That's our role. And it's the role of the Kingdom of God. So the enemy has got these demons. Some of them are stronger demons. You know, there's ranks. As there are ranks in the Kingdom of God, there's ranks in the enemy's kingdom because it's a copy. One of these strong demons manifests, my personal opinion is it's not just one, it's a spirit that has infiltrated a specific group of demons. So if we speak about the army, you will have the Special Intelligence Division, or you'll have the Anti-Terrorism Division, or you'll have the Infantry, or the Air Force. In the same way, there's a group of demons who fit under this role of the spirit of Python. Okay? And they've got a specific thing that they do. Now, don't go to sleep. Right? I see people battling already. If you go to sleep, you're falling under the influence of that very spirit. All right, so you need to fight to stay awake this morning. All right, it can't be that boring. I've only just been preaching for 5 minutes. Okay, that thing says breaking Python's grip. Where do we get this idea of the spirit of Python from? You say, but I haven't read about it in the Bible. Open your Bibles to Acts 16. Have you got your Bibles here? Acts 16. We're going to break the enemy's hold here this morning. He's not going to have his way. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and through to verse 18. It's a well-known story. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Doesn't that sound good? "Who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed — it's all right for a Christian to be annoyed, okay? It was aggravating him because he knew it. He could see what it was. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. That's the authority that you and I have, just by the way, church. We can just say, "Come out," and it must come out. Now, I've been in great spiritual battles while we've been doing deliverance. And my prayer is, Lord, make me stronger, help me to have more faith, because I'm tired of having to have these battles. We should be able to say, like Paul did, like Jesus did, "Come out and go." And that's the level of authority we must have. And it must be our goal, church. Can I hear an amen? And if I can have it, so can you have it. Because I'm just a man. Amen. Just as you're just a normal person. A man or a woman or a child. A boy or a girl. Let me rather put it that way. All right. Now, the Greek words for that woman. She had a spirit of divination. The Greek words is pneuma, which means spirit. And the second word is pathona. P-U-T-H-O-N-A. Pathona. Pneuma, pathona. The spirit of Python. That's where it comes from. The reference is to the Greek god Apollos. You all know about Greek mythology. We don't have to study it, but we know it exists. The Greeks believed in this god and that god and Zeus and that one and another one. And a lot of the new superheroes have got these names. All right. So that's why we actually need to be careful of these things, because they are spirits. The Greek god Apollos, it refers to him, and I'll tell you why. You remember I told you in Satan's kingdom, it's not really a kingdom, in his realm, even the demons seek to control each other. If you come under the influence of Satanism, the idea is to control you. They even control people through mind control. That's why we must have the mind of Christ. We must take every thought captive in the name of Jesus. So this reference to the Greek god Apollos. In the Greek mythology, Apollos killed the god Pythian. It was another god. So even in Satan's kingdom, they fight against each other. You know what the word of God said? Jesus said, "Kingdom divided against itself will never stand." All right. So Apollos killed Python. So in their minds, Apollos took all the power that Python had. All right. Because of this, he was called Apollos Pythian. Apollos was known, now listen to this, as the god of truth. He was the Most High God to the Greeks. And he was the god of light, and there was no darkness in him. Now think about who we know as the god of truth, the god of light, and where there's no darkness. Our God, the one true living God. Do you see how the enemy has his copy and twists things? And he uses demons to take hold of that. Are you with me? I'm going to just pray right now. My Father, I pray for each and every person sitting here this morning that you will take every thought captive, that spirit that is trying to prevent our people from getting this word, which is so important today, leaves right now. So I bind every spirit of lethargy right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that our people will be like they've had a fix of caffeine after the fast, that they'll be wide awake. And I declare that over this church right now so that your word will not return to your void. I take authority in the spiritual realm and I cast you out, you spirits of lethargy and distraction, in Jesus' name. and I loose the spirit of the Most High God here, a spirit of obedience and a spirit that is able to sit up and take note and to take in what you're giving in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a battle, church. If you look around yourself, last Sunday morning, there were people missing out of church. This morning, there's people missing out of church. I'm telling you now, the enemy does not want you to hear. So if you go to sleep, you don't hear. Stay awake. Sure, hierdie pastoor. Ek gaan pak sla kry net nou. But you got to take authority. And I won't have it. Not in this church. In Jesus' name. All right. So Python, or Apollos took on the Python, and he was called Apollos Pythian. And he was a counterfeit of the true living God. And the story goes that there was a woman living in a cave called Delphi. Now, it wasn't her name. The cave was called Delphi. And that was where Python supposedly lived before he was killed by Apollos. The Greeks believe that every word she spoke, Apollos gave to her. She was known as the Oracle of Delphi. She was a very well-known person. And her words were considered the final say on any matter. Anything she said was supposed to be true. And no one was supposed to speak against her. She was believed to be guiding the people in the divine will of who? The god Apollos. Are you with me? So this woman, everything she said pointed to Apollos. Everything Jesus said pointed to the one true living God. Can you see the copy? It was a spirit of divination and the spirit of Python. Now that woman with a spirit of divination, she was like the woman that lived in the cave. She was well known. And her owners, because she was a slave girl, her owners were making money out of her. They were using her in that way. They would take her to divine and give her a false prophecy over people. And the people would take everything she said to be true. Can I hear an amen? Do you know, if you go and listen to the radio, let's say 702, which I listen to, which I'm tired of listening to, they've got no time for God. If you talk about Jesus, you get this negative attitude. But if you speak about any other God, they're all of a sudden interested. They take every word that the Muslims say, Islam. They take every word that a Buddhist would say. And then you get these the people that worship with their crystals and all sorts of other things. They take it and they just hang on every word. Spirit of Python at work. Spirit of Python at work. It will do anything to distract people from the one true living God. That's the spirit of Python. So these men were using that woman. And she was walking behind Paul and Silas. And she was saying, these are prophets of the Most High God. And who was she talking about? Apollos. Spirit of Python. She was, it looked right. It sounded like right. It sounded like she was saying everything people needed to hear. But Paul had the spirit of God in him. He had the spirit of discernment. He knew exactly what was, and he got sick and tired of it. He said, get out of here! And it had to go. And that's what happens with demons. They've got to flee, because we've got authority. Amen. So you've got to watch that the spirit of Python doesn't come and try and rob you of your relationship with God. He will come and try and take everything you believe and twist it and turn you away. We were watching something this morning about how if some in the States, there's a certain university, the kids go there, they've grown up in the church like you guys. They go to that university. Within 2 or 3 months, they find their dads and say, Dad, I don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. Spirit of Python. It will squeeze the spiritual life out of you. That's one of its tactics. Say, I won't let it happen. Say it. I won't let it happen. My eyes are being opened this morning. Ooh, you guys don't sound convinced. Right. The girl in Acts 16 was directing the people to Apollos. It was a deceiving spirit. It was very subtle. But Paul knew what that spirit would do if he let it carry on doing what it was doing. Church, if you allow it to carry on doing what it's doing in your life, it'll eventually drive you away. It'll eventually tell you, there's other stuff that's more important. So a few things that we can immediately see. Number one, it was a deceiving spirit. Number two, it was a distracting spirit. Can you imagine? Apparently these diviners would scream in a horrible voice walking behind them, getting on, yucca, 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 yucca. Yeah, they're busy trying to share God's word with people. Can you imagine how what a distraction it was to Paul and Silas, as well as to the people that were about to hear God's word? Amen. Yeah, distracting, spirit of Python. And finally, it tried to divert the people from worshiping the true God, our Father in heaven. It wanted them to think they were worshiping who Paul and Silas were preaching, but in fact, it wanted them to worship a false God. So it tries to subtly pull you away. Don't allow yourself to be pulled away, church. What is the nature of a python? We all know, we've been taught about a python. We've seen pythons. We know how they kill. They kill by constricting. And we've always believed that what it does is it suffocates you. Because every time you take a breath in, you've got to breathe out. Otherwise, you can't take another breath. When you breathe out, it goes tighter. And then you can't open my lungs as much. And the next time you breathe out, a little bit tighter. And we've always believed that it suffocates its victim. But they did research in 2015, and they found something new out. And I thought, oh, well, that's going to mess with my message. But it doesn't. Because what they found is, what it actually does is it tightens around its victim, is it cuts off the blood supply. And eventually the victim dies of a heart attack. And it obviously breaks bones and causes all sorts of damage. The spirit of Python is a spirit that wants to kill you. It wants to kill you spiritually. It wants to take everything away from you. And what does it do? First of all, it prevents you from being able to breathe. Now think about it. What's the Holy Spirit? He's also the Ruach, the wind, the breath. It wants to take the breath of the Holy Spirit out of you. Secondly, what is the blood? The blood is what cleanses us and frees us. It wants to stop the spiritual blood of Jesus Christ from flowing and cleansing you and delivering you. So it wants to cut off the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and it wants to cut off the work of Jesus Christ in your life. And once it's done that, what happens? You die. You die the second death. You die spiritually. That very blood of Jesus Christ, which made you alive again, will be robbed of you. That is what the spirit of Python wants to do. Blood carries oxygen to the brain. Blood is used to carry that very oxygen that's being squeezed out. So no blood flow, no oxygen. You've got no oxygen in your brain for a certain amount of time, you are dead. That's what happens when you drown. Amen. Genesis 2 verse 7. And the Lord formed God, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed the ruach into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. God gave man life physically and life spiritually. All the animals have life, but man is the only one that God breathed into his nostrils. Amen? So the devil wants to steal both your physical life and your spiritual life. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And it is the blood that makes atonement from the soul. That's why the enemy wants to cut off the breath, and he wants to cut off the blood. Because those are the things that give us life in the spirit. Can I hear an amen to see that you're still faith? Are you with me, church? Can you see where we're going? All right. The ultimate goal of the Python spirit is to do the devil's work. John 10:10, he came to rob, kill, and destroy. Now let me talk a little bit about the Python or the serpent. Who else have you heard about as the serpent in the Bible? Think of the book of Genesis. How did the enemy appear before Adam and Eve? Came in the form of a serpent, a beautiful serpent. He deceived. You see that spirit of Python, spirit of deception. He said, did God really say? You see, subtly twisting, and eventually Adam and Eve capitulated and they died spiritually. I should have heard an amen. They died spiritually. In Revelation, so from Genesis to Revelation, we can read about the devil as a serpent and also as a dragon. Revelation 20 verse 2, it says, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So, right from the beginning to the end of the Bible, that serpent is around. Spirit of Python. There's other snake spirits too, but one of the prominent ones is the spirit of Python. And you know what? Just like we take on the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, so the demons take on the character of their leader, Satan. How does the spirit of Python work against us? We've heard some ways. Three ways we've heard so far. Deception, distraction, and trying to divert people's worship from the true God to Apollo, a false god. On a larger scale, it will try to pressure people and push people out of a life-giving Christian ministry. It will try and push you out of the church in a certain city or region. In Acts 16, verse 18 to 19, it's a continue of that story of Paul and Silas. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of it. And he came out that very hour, and look what happened. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And we know what happened after that. They got thrown into the dungeons in stocks. They were beaten and put in stocks. What was that spirit trying to do? So it couldn't divert the people. So it says, I will shut up the voice of God. I will get God's voice to be closed off. Those people will be thrown in prison. Do you see how it's working? It's trying to stop people from hearing the life-giving truth that is God's word, for their lives to be changed, for their spirits to come to life if they haven't given their heart to Jesus. That is what the spirit of Python tries to do to you. So it can come, and over the city, you must just know, it will try and stop Christian gatherings. It will try and get the Christians deceived to go and run in a crowd and try and sort out the problems in the city through throwing stones and burning places down, instead of by going on their knees and seeking the living God. Can you see how subtly? It seems good, but it's not. Listen to this. Legalized prostitution. That way we can control it. Doesn't that sound like Python spirit? It's deception. It seems like a good answer, but in the end of the day, it's not. Because it doesn't bring those women out of prostitution. It doesn't. All right. It was an attempt to stop the gospel. The enemy in the spirit of Python will oppose you and he will oppress you. And if you give him half a chance, he'll possess you, or you'll get, what was the other one that we read about? You will get obsessed, okay? Stay away from those books. Don't go and study up about demons. You don't need to. Just know what the Word of God says. It's all you need. I've seen it happen to people. But what the enemy is going to do is he's going to subtly try and say, you don't have to come to church on a Sunday. Not every Sunday at least. Take a Sunday off every month. You need to rest more than what you need to go. There's people missing you this morning. They say, I'm too tired to come to church. What does God's word say? In God's presence, in the Psalms it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. What does it say? He indwells the praises of his people. When you come here, it is scripturally written that God's presence is here. Amen. In his presence is fullness of? So if you're not experiencing joy here, there's something wrong. It's the Python spirit working. He's robbed you of your joy. But if you don't come to church, what's going to happen? You're not even going to come into God's presence. Now, if you say, but I'm too tired. Well, I've got another scripture from Nehemiah, I think it's 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You need to be in God's presence so that you can get strength and you can get joy. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You cannot say, well, I'm going to sleep this morning instead of going to church and say you're waiting on the Lord. I'll tell you, you're not telling the truth. Or should I just put it in Afrikaans? Jy's 'n leonaar. And you've been listening to that lying spirit of Python. No, I need to go do shopping. It's the only time I've got to go shopping on a Sunday morning. It's month in, I'll come to church next week. What happened to Saturday? What happened to the time after you've been in church? I don't think it's a good thing for us to go shopping on Sunday, but there is time. We don't have church all Sunday, although today I'm going to give it a good go. No, it's the spirit of Python subtly trying to draw you away. We see people, I'm going to come back down and walk in circles this morning. Maybe I'm walking around Jericho, it's time for that Jericho crest. We see people come to church. We see that, I've told you the story many times, but I've seen it over the years. We've been in this church for 33 odd years. I gave my heart to Jesus here. On the 14th of September, 1986. One night. We've seen people come, and we've seen them go. We've seen them come, and God has touched and healed them. He's delivered them from terrible things. deliverance. We've seen demons flee out of their lives. We've seen him reestablish their marriages, heal their marriages. We've seen him heal them physically. We've seen them they receive their joy back. We've seen their lives turn around. They were once running in darkness, and God put them into the light. You know what? God, as God blessed them, and finances started to become more, and God's blessing started to appear in their lives, they started taking time off. Now I've got more money, so I think I need to go and have some entertainment here and entertainment there. You know, I need a break from church. You know, I've got all of this. God has blessed me. Why shouldn't I enjoy it? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with going on holiday, with taking the occasional day off to go and enjoy yourself doing something. But slowly but surely, you better watch that spirit of Python. Because slowly but surely, that boat and going to the dam is going to become more important to you than coming to church. Slowly but surely, your snoozing in on a Sunday morning is going to become more important to you than going to church. And what is the enemy doing? He's robbing you of your spiritual life. Now I need to sleep late on a Sunday morning. Okay? But tomorrow morning, which is Monday morning, well, I so enjoyed it yesterday. I'll sleep late this morning. What does that do? Most of us have our quiet time in the morning. Most of us, okay? So what's going to happen? I'm getting in the habit of sleeping on a Sunday morning. I'll sleep on a Monday too. Now I'm starting to die spiritually, okay? Because now I'm starting to turn my back on God and run after myself. My own good, my own pleasures, my own what this, that, and the next. Are you with me, church? Can you see how it's like that python? It's tightening up a little bit. So I've compromised a little bit now. Tomorrow I compromise a bit more. And the next day I compromise a bit more. And the next day are you with me? And then you start hearing bones crack as that thing tightens and breaks you. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. It does want to take the presence of the Holy Spirit out of your life. It wants to rob you of your joy. Who gives us joy? When the Spirit comes in us. If the enemy can squeeze the Holy Spirit out of you, he'll steal your joy. Amen. Amen. If you start feeling, I've lost my joy, be careful. Rebuke the spirit of Python. It's got no place in your life. Are you with me? Now I've got to go and find my place. Let's look at some of the symptoms of the spirit of Python. Look subtly. He wants to slowly but surely squeeze your life. Distraction from serving the Lord. Remember I spoke about how distracting that woman was. Distraction. Something comes up. I'm not going to church. I must deal with this. Okay? I can give you some other examples, but then you'll know what I'm talking about. It's present in this church. I'm telling you, church, we need to rebuke that thing. Missing our time because of busyness or distractions. You come to church at every opportunity. I encourage people, when we take them to deliverance, I say, come to every meeting you can, go to cell, come to prayer meeting, come to both services, because what you need is you need to saturate your life. When a house has been swept clean, it needs to be filled with the right spirit. Amen. But slowly but surely, people get delivered, and one day at a time, I'll start coming, and then I'm phoning them every second Monday morning, and then I'm phoning them every third Monday morning, and then they're just no longer here. It happens. And where are they? They're not sitting in another church. They're backslidden. Spirit of Python. Losing the desire and sense and be in the Lord's presence. Have you lost your desire to be with the Lord? Your quiet time in the week? Young people? Old people? Now we're too busy at work. Too busy. Let me tell you what, you get too busy for God. You're going to start battling at work. I'm telling you now, I'm not even cursing you. I'm not speaking out. You will start to battle because you do not realize how much God is on your side and how often he steps in. Slip away from God. Okay, I'll wait until they come back. That's discipline. But when they want to come back, I'll be here with my arms open wide. If things are going wrong in your workplace, are you having a quiet time? Or are you letting the spirit of Python kill you? Choosing carnal pursuits rather than spiritual pursuits. When praise and worship, this is a key, when praise and worship was once important to you, and now you prefer listening to secular music, young people, secular music, you know more of the songs of the secular stuff than what the words than what you know of the Christian stuff. You'd rather sing it when you're in the presence of other people than when you're in than sing God's songs in the presence, because that's embarrassing to you. I'm being honest. I've been honest for a while now. I hope you're not staying away from church because I'm being honest. But let's call a spade a spade. Old folks, you can do the same thing. We don't like these new Christian songs. We don't like the songs that the worship team is singing, because we prefer the ones we sang in 1960. That time is gone. There might be some place for it, but that time is gone. If you switch off because you can't handle the new songs, Spirit of Python at work. I'm telling you now, because any worship for God in His presence is fullness of joy. Notice that bias still in your character. Amen. I don't always like the songs. Josh will tell you. But there's life because we're singing God's word. When you lose your desire to worship the Lord, even in your own quiet time, Spirit of Python squeezing the life out of you. Wake up. Rebuke that spirit. Come alive. I'm almost done, church. Almost done. I've got about 3 pages left and I'll be done. You know what happens when you come to the Spirit of Python? You find yourself spiritually battling for a breakthrough. You think that you're just hitting your head against a wall all the time. Jesus described this in the parable of the seeds. Matthew 13:7, he said, "And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and did what to them? It choked them. It choked them." Spirit of Python. When you replace the worship of God with love for other things, in other words, anything to do with God, I will rather do something else. Are you experiencing any of those symptoms today? Maybe you need to come against the Spirit of Python. Remember, we have authority over all of the power of the enemy. How do we deal with the attacks of the Spirit of Python? There's 3 ways. Church, I know it's taking a bit of time, but I've got to get through this. Can't cut this short. Spirit of prayer and praise. In Acts, the same story, continuing, verse 25 to 26. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose." Praise and prayer. Prayer and praise. Praise and prayer. Prayer and praise. I've been going on and on and on and on like a broken record. You need to be at the prayer meetings, church, but you're not listening. The key to breaking off the spirit of Python is prayer and praise. Hallelujah! And when they started to praise God, they said, "Lord, we're not feeling good. It's dark here. We're bleeding. We're in stocks. We can hardly move, but we can move our lips. And we will praise you. We won't complain. We will pray. We'll say, Lord, break these chains of us. Loose these shackles. Let these stocks fall apart. Let the doors be flung open and kadam!" It happened. Happened. Are you being bound by the spirit of Python? Have you lost your joy? Have you been backsliding and you know it? You know you're not seeking the Lord the way you used to. Has that happened to you? It's time to start praying and it's time to start praising, and those shackles will fall off, and the gates of bronze and doors, bars of iron will swing open, and you will run free. We sang it. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Say it with me. I'm free. I'm free. Say it. I'm free. I'm free. Yes. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. And let me tell you this. Not only did their chains fall open, and not only did their prison doors go open, but all the other prisoners' chains fell off, and their doors were also open. As you start breaking the spirit of Python in your life, God will use you to be a blessing to others, and you'll see others being set free. Wouldn't you like to see the enemy flee when you pray, lands, come out in Jesus' name? Ah! Fire him at the mouth. Wouldn't you like to see that? Amen. You've got that authority. So those are 2 great keys. We must come against that spirit of Python with prayer and praise. And there's great victory. Why? Because in the New Testament it tells me Jesus Christ always leads us in triumph. We are always triumphant. The second key is the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:11. "They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Who's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Remember now, prayer and praise, what's that linked to? The Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Holy Spirit. I can worship in the natural and I worship in the Spirit. Amen? The enemy wants to stop you from doing it. Don't let him. And then the blood of Jesus Christ. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the blood that washes us, the blood that cleanses us, and the word of our testimony. I'm saved. I'm a blood-washed, devil-stomping Believing in Jesus Christ has washed me and He's made me free. I'm free. I no longer suffer with guilt. I no longer suffer with shame. I've been freed from addictions. I've been freed from lust. I've been freed from sickness. I've been freed from depression. That's your testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. As I've written to you in some of our daily encouragement, this is the one of our weapons, which doesn't just say that we war against the enemy. It says we overcome. We overcome. We win the battle with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We win, church. Say it with me. We win. Again, we win. Hallelujah. When we rely on the blood of Jesus, we reinitiate that life that the enemy was trying to squeeze out of us. It washes us, and our spirit says, ah, oh, I'm no longer sick anymore. I'm alive. I've got the life of God pulsing through me in the spirit once again. And then the final one we've got is the name of Jesus. In Acts 16, verse 18, it says, and she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And that very hour, he came out. We've got the name of Jesus. What have we got? Prayer and praise. The blood of Jesus in our testimony. And the name of Jesus. Five tools. And when you use them, the spirit of Python will have to flee. It will be overcome, defeated, and have to go. Can I hear an amen? So what have I said this morning? The Python spirit seeks to kill the life of the spirit in us. The Holy Spirit and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in us. Its purpose is to squeeze out the anointing and presence of the Holy Spirit in us and rob us of the effect of the atonement of Jesus Christ's blood. But God has given us mighty weapons, which I've just shared with you. But what we need to do is we need to ask the Lord for the spirit of discernment that Paul worked in. We need to see it coming early. If you've started thinking, ugh, you used to come to the evening service, ugh, I don't have to do that anymore. Or you used to go to cell, ugh, I'm not going to come to cell this week. Spirit of Python, be awake. Ask the Holy Spirit to flow in you with the spirit of discernment. If you feel like you've lost your joy, or you've stopped praising God, where you used to praise God all the time, you used to listen to Christian music in your car, now you're listening to the radio, or to secular music. Singing along with the world song. And I wanted to jump in bed with my girlfriend and have sex with her. It's not quite as subtle as that, is it? And you're singing at church. And I'm going to have all the money in the world. And we're going to go and have a joll on the weekend. Okay, I'm exaggerating, right? But listen to what you're listening to. Okay, the tune might be nice because the devil is a deceiver. But the words are death. You hear me? The words are death. Spirit of Python trying to kill you. Trying to kill you. Trying to kill you. Don't allow him to do it to you. Bring God's deliverance and restoration into every area of your life. By praying, by praising, by drawing near to him. Let his atoning blood wash over you. Speak about him and use the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stay in church. It's 11 o'clock. I'm not allowed to preach anymore by my own rules. Are you with me? Did you manage to get that? Yes. Now, tonight, what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to sit at home while we have communion and pray for the people? Or are you going to come back? I ask you with all my heart, do not let the spirit of Python, now being manipulative, now I'm working the spirit of Jezebel. No. I'm asking you with all my heart, come back tonight. It's for your own benefit. It's great to have a lot of people here, and it will make me feel good, but that is not the key, okay? The key is that you need to wrap up the fast. We need to break the fast in the right way so that you can go and have victory in the weeks and the days and the months and the years that lay ahead of us. Can I hear another amen? Amen. Amen. Josh, I want to ask you guys to come forward. That first song again, I know we sing it twice. After we've prayed, but the reason we're going to pray every praise is to our God. Our God is the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, just in case there's any confusion here. It's the God who's the Father that sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to die on the cross for us, and who's given us his Holy Spirit that indwells us. Let's just declare that. Amen? We cut off every deceiving spirit. I don't have time to pray for you, but if you feel you want me to pray for you after the service, you're welcome to come forward. When I say I don't have time now. We need to close the service. So I'm going to pray. We're going to cut that off. We're going to sing a song. And then I'll ask Larry to close the service and pray for us. But now you lift your hand up. If you've identified the spirit of Python working in your life or somebody you know's life, or you need freedom from that thing, whatever, or if you just want authority over it, just lift your hand, close your eyes. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the enemy and his tricks have been exposed this morning. And we cut off not only the spirit of Python, that spirit of deception and divination and lies and killing. We cut off the spirit of Jezebel. We cut off every strong man and every power. We come against every demonic force and even the devil himself in the name of Jesus this morning. We break its hold over this church and we say to our people, be free in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over these people and over myself and over every person that's a member or attender of this church. I pray the same over our children. And I pray, Lord, let us start to stand up and walk in the victory that is already ours in the name of Jesus. Because we are more than conquerors, we are overcomers, and we are always led in triumph. The enemy is under our feet. We have authority over all of the power of the devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord God, we thank you that our God is the undefeatable one. Yes. And so this morning we declare victory. Just say it with me. Victory.
Victory.
In Jesus' name.
Victory.
Victory. Through the blood.
Victory.
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 By the power of the Spirit.
By the power of the Spirit.
Victory for me.
Victory for me.
The enemy is under my feet.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.